Sue Williams, you are not here in Sydney. I can tell because you're not sitting in front of me. Where are you?
I'm in Lithgow, just over the Blue Mountains. I'm just
Oh.
visiting my house.
Oh, nice. Lovely Lithgow. How is the weather there? Because it's rotten here. It's raining and miserable and grey.
Yep, it's pretty much the same here, but much, much colder. When I
Right.
came up on today, it was pretty brisk in Sydney, but by the time I got to Lithgow, it was icy.
Oh, right. Sounds awful. But it's supposed to be spring. I think we're getting the winter that we missed out on a couple of months ago. Yeah, right. We better crack on before the telephone lines fall over or whatever. The topics for today, we've been talking for a while about embedded networks, and now we've discovered that we're right in the middle of one. We've got all the new strata law changes that we mentioned last week, but now we've got much more detail about them. And I've been accused of creating an us and them environment between myself and strata managers.
Wow, accusations against you, Jimmy. That's the first. Ha ha ha.
If only it were true. So, there's a lot to get through. I'm Jimmy Thompson. I write the Flat Chat column for the Australian Financial Review.
I'm Sue Williams, and I write about property for Domain.
And this, coming to you live from Lithgow, is the Flat Chat Wrap. Embedded networks, we've been talking about them for a while. Are you fully across what they are, Sue?
Yep, absolutely. It's where developers save money, stingy developers save money by getting other people to supply essential services
Yeah.
and then charging the new residents, the new owners of apartments,
Yeah.
huge amounts of money to service those contracts.
Yes. Well, as many of our listeners and readers will know by now, we just bought an apartment on the South Coast, and we're coming up to our first AGM, and the agenda arrived, and lo and behold, there is an embedded network right stuck in the middle of it. And it's an absolute shocker.
Because you did some number crunching about it, didn't you?
Yeah, so these guys, I mean, look, if you don't know what you're looking for, you'd probably go, all right, ooh, that's a bit expensive. So here's what they're saying. Basically, the contract is for, I can't believe this, 180 months, which is 15 years. It is for 770 or thereabouts dollars a month. And they multiply that up and they say
And
over.
Jimmy, what is it for? What is it for?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's for storm drain filtering, right? So it's for, so every big building, because you put a lot of contract on grass and stuff that would normally absorb water, you have to have a kind of retention tank somewhere where all the storm water can flow into it when it's actually raining and then gradually flow out into the stormwater drains at a reasonable level. But of course, that water carries a lot of crap into the retention tank. So you have to put filters in to take out all the stuff that you don't want going into the ocean and stuff like that.
Right, so they're a necessary part of any building.
Absolutely, totally essential. And once upon a time, builders just put them in there, and that was it. So as you said, what has happened is that some developers will now do a deal with the stormwater drain people, who say, we'll put the stormwater drain in for free, but you've got to get the owners to pay extortionate payments for maintaining them.
It's just another way of developers gouging hapless owners for more money, is it?
Absolutely. There's no other reason for it. So I was looking at this one in the agenda for our place. And as I was saying, they're charging $770 a month for 15 years, which all adds up to about just under $140,000 over the
Wow, that's a
course
lot
of
of
the
money.
fifteen years. And
Yeah.
actually, I worked it out. It works out at roughly the same as a subscription to a streaming channel for every owner in the building, except.
Insubstantial, really.
No, well, you would think twice about taking on another streaming service, and if somebody offered you one for free, you'd jump at it. So that's one aspect of this. But I had a look at the small print, and it says that the stormwater drain filtering people can add either the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, or 10% to the charges every year, whichever is greater. And suddenly
10%. That's incredible. I mean, we've got inflation at the moment around 7%, and we're saying that's obviously too high.
Yeah.
And the Treasury is saying we need to get it down to 4 to 5%.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can do that in, if not next year, the year after.
Yeah.
But then if it's 10%.
Yeah. Wow. And you do the sums on that, and it turns out that that $130,000 over 15 years becomes just under $300,000.
Wow. So
it's a lot of money. And you think, well, maybe this is unavoidable. It very much isn't, because I've been told a story. Now, this stormwater drain thing was actually the first example that was given to me by a friend of ours who's a strata manager, who said, look, there's this ripoff going on around these stormwater drains. And, you know, everybody knows it's going on and nobody's doing anything about it. So when I saw this thing in our agenda, I thought, wow, this is one of these things.
Mm.
I contacted our friends at OCN, and they've had somebody come to them and say they were at their first AGM and exactly the same proposal from exactly the same company was put up to them. At a first AGM, this is when you agree on all the contracts that have been offered to you and all the bylaws and things, or you're supposed to. And this guy stood up at the AGM and said, no, we're not signing that. And they said, no, you've got to. And this is the developer, and the strata manager just said, no, you've got to. And the guy said, no, we're here to decide whether or not we're going to agree to these things. And we're not going to agree to it. We think it's a ripoff. And the strata manager said, no, you've got to. It's the law. And again, he said, no, we're not going to. And the strata manager said, you won't get another company in Australia who will provide this service. So you're going to have the service, because the law says you've got to have it. And if you don't sign this, then all your warranties on the installation will be void.
And is that true?
No. And again, again, the young bloke says, well, we're not doing it. We'll check it out. And if it does turn out to be the only company in Australia, then we'll come back and we'll sign the agreement. But we're not going to do this without comparing deals.
Hmm.
So he goes out, looks around, finds another firm. I think it's called Bell Environmental. And they say, yeah, look, I think the charge for this building that we're talking about was going to be something like $6,000 a year. They said, we'll charge you $3,000. And basically, they just said, look, just half all the prices, and there's none of this 10% nonsense. You know, we'll go up by CPI and all the rest of it. And it turns out that basically this company, this with aided and abetted by the strata manager, one would think, we're just going to rip them off completely, because most of the people at the meeting did not know what was going on and what was right and what was wrong.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's not just stormwater drains, is it? Most embedded networks, they can do it for lots and lots of different services.
Yeah, things like electricity, and including electric vehicle charging, gas, water, hot water, cold water. I didn't know that you could get chilled water in some buildings, but they do provide a service. And this is one of the things that the government is looking at. They're saying these things are just ripe to being exploited, and they are being exploited, and people are getting ripped off, and their choices are being limited. You find out that your building has signed up to one energy supplier, and you might say, oh, I don't want to go with that energy supplier. I want to go with like one of these green suppliers or whatever. Mm. And they go, no, you can't, because the whole building's been signed up for this.
Wow. It's the same like Wi-Fi suppliers sometimes as well, isn't it?
Yep. And yeah, internet and all that. You know, you find that your building has signed up an exclusive deal with an internet supplier, and it's very, very hard to get your preferred internet supplier in, even though the infrastructure is there, that it could easily be done literally at the flick of a switch.
And I mean, that's fine if all the owners get together and decide to go with one provider because it's much cheaper or it's much better than another. If the owners decide that, great.
Yeah.
But not if somebody else comes in and imposes that decision on them.
Absolutely. And because the developer has been approached by one of these companies who have said to them, hey, look, if you let us put our equipment and our cabling or whatever into your building, we'll do it for free provided you can get the owners to sign up for these contracts, which are going to cost them more than they would normally.
Right.
Because then they're saying, well, that pays for our installation.
Yep, quite. So our first AGM is going to be quite interesting, isn't it, then, if you're going to be standing up and making that? And also, it just strikes me that, and also this flat chat episode, maybe the new building that we've bought into, we bought off the plan, they actually have an owner's forum, I think. So yes, they do. We could put this episode of flat chat onto it.
Oh, wow. I think we might get burnt at the stake when we head down there. Well, you know, it's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous that they're doing this so blatantly. And I wonder, I mean, I know we're going to talk later about me being accused of, say, doing this us and them thing with strata managers. I talked to somebody from Strata Community Australia the other day, and he said, yeah, we're very much against embedded network. We don't think it's a good idea. We don't want to encourage it. Well, mate, stop your members from doing it would be a good way to do. It's all very well to sit around and wringing your hands and going, oh, it's terrible, it's awful. Do something about it.
Yep. Good point.
Right. When we come back, and I've calmed down a little bit, we're going to talk about some of the new laws in detail that are coming up in New South Wales, Strata. That's after this.
We've talked about some of the law changes before, haven't we, about pets and things, but what are some of the other new law changes that are coming in?
Oh, some of them are kind of interesting little tweaks of the law, and you realise, oh, there's been a little kind of loophole or error in the law that has caused some concern. And some of them are quite significant. Like, you know how there's a law that if the original owner of an apartment block hasn't sold 50% of the property, then their vote is reduced to a third, right? Okay. And that's fine, except when there's only two properties in the scheme. So they've fixed that. They're now saying that instead of the developers having to provide all the documents 48 hours before the first AGM, they now have to provide all the documents like contracts, et cetera, 14 days before the AGM.
Oh, fantastic.
Boy, are our developers going to regret that when it comes around. Sacking committee members. It used to be that if you wanted to get somebody off the committee who'd been elected, you have to get a special resolution at a general meeting, and that requires a vote of 75%, which it's easier then for the disgruntled committee member to gather 25% of votes to stop it happening. Mm. So it's now going to be a simple majority. And they've also specified, which wasn't in the law before, that they cannot be reappointed to the committee for a year. You know, they can't just turn around and say, well, we're going to hold another meeting and I'm going to get re-elected. And you can now have strata committees elected at any general meeting. It doesn't have to be at the AGM. So, for instance, if you've had a lot of people retiring or selling out, you can have another election and get more people in.
Good idea.
Strata managers have to give written notice that their contract is coming to the end at least 3 months before the end of the contract to get the owners, give them a chance to think about whether they want to get somebody else.
Or take tenders for alternatives, I suppose. Yeah.
And there's something that's come up in the website a lot has been, you know, you can move money between your sinking fund and your admin fund.
Yeah.
And the law used to say that the owners corporation had to, or the committee had to decide within 3 months to pay it back. And there's been debate about whether that meant they just had to decide what they're going to do or they actually had to pay it. And they've clarified that and they've said you've got to have a general meeting to decide what you're going to do, but you could decide not to repay it.
Oh, okay. Well,
so you've still got the money. There's stuff.
Sound like good changes, really, really ironing out some of the kinks in the system.
Absolutely, absolutely. We talked about the pets. We talked about previously that all schemes have got to get quotes, at least two quotes for work costing over $30,000. If you get an emergency repair levy, you only have 14 days to pay it rather than 30 days because it's an emergency. This is quite interesting. Rental agents will have to give tenants a copy of the strata scheme's bylaws when the lease starts But whenever those documents are updated.
You kind of assume they do, but if they don't, it's really good now that they have to, because otherwise the building itself, every time there's new tenants, and they often might not even know that there are new tenants there, has to try and pass on the bylaws, and it's really difficult.
Well, and that comes to the next thing they've done, which is rental agents must give the owners corporation notice that a lot has been leased or subleased if the notice hasn't been provided by the owner or the head tenant. And if neither the rental agents nor the owners nor the head tenants have notified the owners corporation, then the tenants are allowed to do it, which is another change.
Yeah.
Now, this was something that I wasn't sure about. The thing about appointing a managing agent, and I wasn't sure whether it was a compulsory manager or just an ordinary strata manager. It turns out it's both. So the Commissioner for Fair Trading can go to the tribunal and say, look, this building is really dysfunctional. Could you please appoint a compulsory manager to take over the whole running of the building, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they can also go to them and say, can you order a strata scheme that doesn't have a strata manager to get one, which is different because the strata scheme is still making the decisions, but they've got a strata manager managing stuff.
Okay. Well, that seems to make a lot of sense too.
And one of the other things is, I remember when they brought in the proxy farming laws and they limited the number of proxies any one owner could have depending on the number of units in the block.
Yep.
And some people got a power of attorney they appointed so they could get multiple supporters to share power of attorney so that one person could go and vote for all these people, right? Maybe you didn't know that. Now they've changed it so that those power of attorney are exactly the same as proxies. So there's a limit on the numbers.
Oh, good. So you can't kind of get around that by just using a different forum, really.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, what they would do is they would say, you know, they'd get their lawyer and they'd say, "This my lawyer is power of attorney for seven different units here, so we've got seven votes," whereas nobody else had more than one proxy vote, for instance. Well, now they've stopped that, which is good. And finally, and I've often wondered about this, it's always been the case that if somebody was discussing something in a committee and they had a conflict of interest, for instance, you know, it was they were going to make money off something if it happened or whatever, and all they had to do was declare the conflict of interest, but the committee could decide to let them stay in the meeting and even vote on the matter in hand. And of course, if somebody was a dominant character in a committee, they would just say, "Hey, look, I've got a conflict of interest, but I'm staying here and while you discuss it, and I will be voting." Well, now they can't do that. They've got to leave. They've got to leave the committee.
Good, good. Okay, so that sounds like a really good grab bag of stuff.
It is. It's all on the Flat Chat website. But it's interesting, they're actually getting stuff done.
Yeah, thank goodness. It's taken long enough. I mean, that review of the strata schemes.
Two years ago.
Yeah, long time. Yeah.
But what they're not doing anything about, apparently, is embedded networks.
Right.
They're talking about it. But they really need to get their fingers out and do something about it. It's pretty obviously bad. And there are some simple solutions that they could come up with. But, you know, it's bureaucracy. It's the civil service.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to talk briefly about why strata managers are angry with me. That's after this.
So, Jimmy, why are you annoying strata managers? What have you done now?
What have I done now? I wrote a piece for the Fin Review the other week in which I referred to the new strata commissioner, John Minns, and said he would have his hands full dealing with dodgy real estate agents. And I think I used the phrase dangerously incompetent strata managers.
Oh, so very mild then.
Yeah. if I didn't use it in the column, I used it in our podcast. So a senior strata manager has taken great offense at this and has written to me. But, you know, he I'm not going to name him yet, but this guy, obviously he failed charm school. His diplomatic skills leave a little to be desired. I mean, it takes one to know one,
Jimmy.
I mean, some of the words he used, I'm trying to think what they were. He talks about my stuff reeking of lack of respect for strata managers, and he called me a mouthpiece for the Owners Corporation network. And
that's funny, because you've never done that.
Well, yeah. He said that people could be forgiven for thinking I was a mouthpiece. And I thought, well, there's other words he could have used, like spokesperson, would have been the polite thing. And the weird thing is that this guy has reached out to try and sort of develop a friendly relationship with me. And he just keeps insulting me.
Well, I guess you did start off by insulting him.
Well, I insulted some of his members who...
Or maybe they weren't his members. They could be not members of this...
Yes, I didn't. But you see, that's the thing. I just said they were strata managers. And I mean, if we're going to go down the road of saying you can't criticize strata managers in case some of them might be offended, then, that's a very quiet room that you've just walked into. Because if you can't say that there are some strata managers who aren't up to the job, and we know... And we know from our own experience that that is not the case. Then I don't think anybody should be sacrosanct from criticism, including journalists.
No, including you. Absolutely. Yeah. So, people should be a bit more resilient and robust, really, and develop a bit of a thicker skin.
I think we've been through this with these guys before. Back in the day, you couldn't say anything about strata managers. And then you'd find out, that half of them weren't properly trained. They were given bad advice. I mean, the classic one that I constantly remember is somebody had trouble in a building because of their developer who was just ignoring strata law. We arranged for a strata manager to go down and hold the first AGM, which the guy should have held like 6 months before. And it was a she, started doing the meeting and using the old laws. And somebody said, these are the old strata laws you're using. And this is like, in 2018. And you should be using the 2015 laws. And she said, well, nobody told me they'd changed. So I think I'm justified in being a wee bit critical of some strata managers. And having said that, there are two points I really should make. There are many strata managers in New South Wales who are doing a terrific job, and they're bringing communities together, and they're helping them with their problems, and they're dealing with dodgy developers and bloody embedded networks, and they're doing a terrific job. I also should say that Strata Community Australia has come on in leaps and bounds from what it used to be like when it was the ISTMS, and it was basically just a protection racket for strata managers, and they have become really professional in the way they go about things. And I'm saying that absolutely honestly and genuinely because I believe it to be the case, but they're not perfect.
No. And well, I look forward to, I think you're probably meeting this person for a coffee sometime soon.
That's gone.
Oh, is it? Okay.
When he called me a mouthpiece, I said, hey, I tell you what, how about we wait until you get to the point where you don't feel the need to insult and belittle me, and then we can have that cup of coffee. He's now dealing with the fact that it's one of his strata managers who's got this embedded network in our building. So this could run and run.
Okay, well, I look forward to hearing the next episode.
We'll turn it into a musical. Thanks, Sue. Thanks for calling in from Lithgow. And thank you all for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Flat Chat Wrap podcast. You'll find links to the stories and other references on our website, flatchat.com.au. And if you haven't already done so, you can subscribe to this podcast completely free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Just search for Flat Chat Wrap with a W, click on subscribe, and you'll get this podcast every week without even trying. Thanks again. Talk to you again next week.